Benny.
Jay.
You can't believe it, can you? You just can't.
This is like one of those Marthy movies, just when I thought I was out and fully gone.
The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos.
I just get this message from Jake. What are you doing?
I mean, there was a few times throughout the season that throughout the AFL season we should mention that, just in case somehow you've stumbled across this. Welcome. And there was a few times I remember tweeting, I think after Essendon lost to Carlton early in the season, and I was pretty happy with how things were going. I think I tweeted
the most bowling you usually do on Twitter is post Essendon loss to with a Carlton win, isn't it?
It's nice. It is nice, but few and far between. But before we get stuck in the footy, mate, we're back and we're recording. We're in Melbourne, which means, unfortunately, we're in lockdown. So it means we're on Zoom, which hasn't been our plan. But we thought we cannot delay chatting any longer, because obviously footy season's at fever pitch, but we want to tackle some of life's big issues as well here.
Truth be told, you just haven't spoken to another human in a few weeks, and you're just like, oh, I know who will listen, because I'm going to have to make him listen.
Well, I mean, we've both undergone some big changes. We've both grown up in the last little bit. I mean, you were living out of home, but you've sort of moved back to our native area a little bit more. And so I was going to say which suburb you live in. It's probably not necessary, but we're now living quite close. Obviously, under lockdown, we can't catch up, and we haven't seen each other's new place. But I've also moved out. So things are happening in our lives. We're growing up, and now we're back recording the podcast, which is an absolute dream.
We are growing up, but yeah, I can see you're not quite for some aspects. I see you're still flicking and dropping that pen. The old four-colour Bic, the amount of times I've had to edit these audio podcasts and you just hear that ka-dunk in the spin and then the ka-dunk. And they make the Bic pens make a very specific noise, don't they? Because they're a little bit loose because you've got four colours.
Yeah.
Hollow. And you're doing it now. I don't know if it's coming through on the audio. But you talk about growing up and here you are spinning. Either don't spin it or get better at spinning it.
I can't do either because I've been practicing it since late high school.
It's going to be another 6 months between our next podcast then.
Now, Ben, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why we haven't chatted this year. There's been a lot of rumours that have gone around too. I mean, you and I are still on very good terms.
Yes.
I think that there was some rumours that there was a great falling out between you and I. Might have been started by an old producer of ours. But we now know that one of our favourites at the Magoo, Sammy, you two are no longer living together. There were so many questions around, where the boys were, are they coming back? And usually the influencers on Instagram, they say, oh, so many people have asked me, like that sort of a vibe. But I can't speak for you, but a lot of people actually genuinely did ask me about what the scenario was with the Magoos. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we dropped some new artwork, which showed that there was a little bit of a fire still burning. And
yeah, real Kanye and, sort of areas, wasn't it? Yeah.
And now we're back.
Album, but we hadn't. We just sort of changed the EP. Yeah,
we hadn't done anything. We just paid for artwork a little bit of time ago and hadn't used it. So what have you been doing, Ben?
Well, full transparency. Yes, I did. I moved out, no longer with Sammy. Also haven't had a falling out with him either. Just me and my partner, Molly, we've moved out together, which is going swimmingly. But you're right. It's been a big move between moving out, your lockdowns. We won't get into the COVID area. I think everyone's touching on that at the moment. That plus work and doing this through Zoom. It was quite difficult, and people like you get to see the finished product a lot at the end, obviously, and you just you just click download and you listen to it and it's great. But the work that goes into it, it's actually it's quite difficult, and there's only so many hours in the day, that sort of thing. And this is not to create excuses. We're back, and we're definitely wanting to get this fire started, although I have one thing written on my sheet and that's it. And it just says Podbean, which is, I think, is a host for podcasts, because that's what we can talk about if you want.
We have had a falling out and it was with our content houser, let's call it. The former platform that we had an agreement with, made life very difficult for you and I, Ben. And we aren't necessarily rolling in cash. We spoke about our living arrangements and, you know, those sorts of things. You know, I'm assuming one day we will scale financial heights, but at the moment, you know, we're two young men just trying to make things work. And
you must be doing okay. Well, I've got the old string still.
AirPods are absolutely a socioeconomic figure, I think.
They actually are. You'll notice in movies and television shows that are being filmed and released at the moment, that if someone is actually a little bit more middle class or even lower, they will have the old string still, which I've got.
I think the string has a time and a place. But so what happened was we were unfairly charged out of the blue by said content.
Can we name them?
I mean, there's no way they listen. They seemingly didn't speak a lot of English either. So I'm not sure the AFL podcasts or by two blokes in Melbourne is on their list of things to check.
A big run in the US, you don't think?
It was Podomatic, and they switched us up.
I still have time to post-edit that.
And they stitched us up big time, and it was one of the great back and forths with a customer service agent you've ever seen. And that's not unfamiliar territory with me. I don't mind live chat. I'm happy to go on, and the amount of discounts and refunds I've gotten on things, I'm actually quite happy with. But this was
you were telling me how to go
case.
About it, and I just didn't realize that you were that well versed with actually how to write a specific email about requesting funds back. I usually write it off. I go, "That's my mistake. I'll never happen again." You. You dig in. You're very very caring about like a little bit of you were willing to speak to managers this time around.
It was too much money to just let this one go.
It was because
if
you don't dabble in the financial markets and the old conversion rates, I can tell you the conversion from Australian dollars to US dollars is not pretty, because they were telling us how much you'd been charged US, and I think the U and the S were very, very fine print. You're like, "Oh, I can probably cop that," but then you check your bank account and
it's all gone.
And that's why I moved out, actually. That's the story to why me and Sam no longer talk.
Your debtors are still chasing you. So that was something that we did end up getting resolved, and they were actually quite good about it once they realised what we were trying to achieve. And it's not the only not the only big name company that I'm currently in a feud with either, which we can.
Well, that could be a running segment. It sounds like this is definitely not the first and last time for you. I feel like you get into these situations quite easily.
I go looking for trouble. I expect a certain level of service when it comes to brands and, you know, retailers that, you know, I'm not talking about the small businesses here, you know, I'm not measuring the amount of milk they're putting in my coffee or anything, you know, we're talking about big companies who should be better. I'm happy to try and keep them accountable. So
I like it.
We've moved on through Podomatic, and that sort of got us back together a little bit, I think, you know, teaming up and fighting crime and you know, having a win together. I think it really sort of got the juices flowing.
Well, for those who wanted to really know, I hadn't heard from you in a little while. And again, there has been no falling out. There's been just the lockdowns, as mentioned, and you just sort of, you know, you get stuck in your four walls. And then I just get a message from Jake, not asking to do a podcast, but saying basically, "Where is my money?" demanding I follow things up.
It was demanding. But so much has changed. I've dropped the penny.
You've dropped the big again. But before you skip over it, I've moved out but still renting. Jay, you've got some big news, don't you?
Yeah. Well, I've moved out as well. We actually bought a place with my lovely partner, Rachel. So, yes, we're so it'll be, I mean, it will get at least one more listener because now my old man will listen because he used to get the live episodes through the wall.
Yeah, he just put his ear up against the wall. That's right.
Yeah. So now at least we'll be guaranteed to get at least one listener, which will be nice. But yeah, we've been out for about 5 weeks now. We spent most of that in lockdown, but thoroughly enjoying it at the moment. Very different being a grown up. But yeah, customizing to life. It's just around the corner from the footy club I play at too. So
that sounds dangerous actually.
Yeah,
as someone who already spends a lot of time at their local football club, Jake, I think you living that close might not be a good thing.
Yeah, we haven't really had the opportunity to make the most of that yet, just based on the lockdowns that we've sort of, when we moved in, we were in lockdown and then we had a week or two out and, yeah, it was nice to be really close.
You're just the greyhound in the cage, just waiting.
Yeah, so it'll be nice, would be nice if we get a little bit of footy in at some stage again this year, because, yeah, being nice and close, and especially towards the end of the season, you know, you do tend to have a few more functions and things, and just to be a short walk home would be nice.
I hope Rach has a lot of hobbies herself, because I can imagine just a lot of kick-ons at the Lambert household.
No, there'll be none of that. I've made that absolutely clear that it will not be a comeback to venue. The convenience of it being close is for me to not have to think about, you know, getting my car home or anything like that the next day, or getting Ubers and that sort of thing. It's all just about I can walk there. It's not a hey, let's all go back to Jake's.
Because I think this will be a watch this space, and I'll keep you accountable on that one
Do not even want to entertain it. Something we've seen though, Ben, in the sporting world, and I mean, you know, like sport, as we know, it has shifted a long way, and there's crowds in certain parts of the world, and we know what we're going through here in Melbourne. But the NBA is a big passion of yours, and we saw another stellar season. And I thought before we got into the footy stuff, I wanted to see if you had any hot takes for me. Did you see what transpired in the NBA season? Did you see it falling that way?
I definitely did not see Milwaukee winning it. No, I don't think many people would have. But as much as it's interesting, because I am a very, very big basketball fan, and quotes around basketball, because I do like watching other styles and other competitions. And I think the Olympics, I think the FIBA rules around the Olympics are just so much better to watch than the NBA. I mean, the NBA has obviously the highlights and the big dunks and just the amazing plays from individuals and joint efforts. But I love the team basketball that FIBA brings. And I think even though America ended up winning it anyway, because they just have so much raw talent. They had you can't even disrespect those guys by saying they had their B team in, because they are still all absolute A graders. But it actually, I mean, it's been happening for a long, long time, and I'm pretty, and I don't know if it's because I'm getting older and maybe a bit more mature too, but the super teams are becoming more than an issue. And it's interesting, because I haven't really thought too much about it until you've asked me, even though Milwaukee won it, and they've sort of, I think the great thing about them, or even if Phoenix did, either team aren't, I wouldn't say, a super team. I mean, they've got absolute guns in both sides, but they're not built around that. But I think overall, you look at what happened in Brooklyn this season, and it's just sort of like, where are we drawing the line with superstars playing with other superstars? And then you got these 30 to 33 year old veterans who, you know, you're not talking about a 33 year old footballer whose body's just beat up. You've got smart, very smart individual basketballs, and you can play basketball for a lot longer than you can probably play footy at the highest level. So even though they're on that veteran status, they're still unbelievable basketballers. So I think that disparity is becoming bigger and bigger there. And I think you look at sort of the AFL, and I think it's a slow, really, it's really, really slow, but I think they are sort of going down that way. Like, and you know, there's 18 blokes on a field in footy, so it'll probably never be too unfair. And I don't know even where I'm really going with this. The NBA was really good this season, Jake. And I think LA are already trying to make a comeback for next season.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned the Lakers, because I am nowhere near as big of a basketball and in particular NBA fan as you. I do dabble. I support the Detroit Pistons, which was a decision I made as a very young man when I was really anti-establishment. Everyone was going for the Lakers, so
yeah,
I went for the Pistons.
You've got that about you. I thought,
yeah, that's me.
Either do go for your Lakers or Boston, like in our age group sort of thing, or you're completely anti-establishment.
And then, I mean, I also chose the team that then won the finals.
They
the
won
next
it,
year.
You know,
I mean, I was only 10 or 11, I think, so I'm happy to give myself a pass because I have stuck by them. But
that's good.
My point was here is that when you mentioned the Lakers, it got me thinking, and I am a LeBron James fan. I really like what he brings to the table. I feel like he's definitely in the greatest of all time discussion, which is not something we will have nor encourage feedback on. But what I did subject myself to over the last few months is the watching of Space Jam, A New Legacy.
You've seen it?
I've seen it, and we went to the cinemas to watch it, right? I think it was just a novelty. We hadn't been in the movies in a long time. It was in between lockdowns. The bloke three rows in front of us sneezed like the whole time, and it was just... It was a real worry.
We do 5 minutes on your day out that you had.
Yeah, and so again was with Rach at the movies and didn't say too much. Whatever, we were just watching the movie and you know like being quiet throughout. And we sort of walked out of the cinema and as the movie finished and we didn't really say anything to one another and then she just looked at me and she just said, "That was a really bad movie, wasn't it?" And I said, "That was the worst movie I've ever seen." And she said, "I really wanted to walk out, but didn't know how you were feeling about it or whatever." And I just said, like, I genuinely would have got up and walked out if she had said, "Do you just want to go?" Like, because it was for a sports movie featuring a huge star who I really like, and Bugs Bunny, who, mind you, is, you know, he's got a legacy to protect, if anyone
was
Lola, does.
Was Lola still hot? It was the new sort of CGI?
I think that there was something around the way that they maybe desexualized her or something. Like, I don't want to get into those uncharted waters without
but
knowing.
But I did have a crush on her growing up.
I think everybody did. But, yeah, there was some change they made about her that people weren't happy with. But I don't know what it was, so we don't – so I don't want to – delve into those waters, but it was a shocking movie, and
you're scathing. This is
it was so bad. It was, and like I messaged a few mates about it at the time, and I thought, well, people deserve to go and see it. Like we've waited a long time in between Space Jams, and a part of me is still glad I've seen it, even though I know that it's really bad. And so this is the first time outside of a real select few group of friends that I've said how bad the movie was.
Yeah,
because I think now people are going to sign up to streaming services and stuff just to watch that.
Yeah,
assuming that it comes to like, is Disney? Is that? I don't know.
Yeah, it would be Disney. I think
Warner Brothers. Yeah,
Warner Brothers. Maybe.
I don't know, but I just fear that someone's going to be like, "Yeah, I'll pay the $14 or whatever it is to get Disney and watch it." Don't do that.
So this is your long way of coming back to you've now sent Disney an email or Warner Brothers an email to
get my money
$14
back.
And you went on a Sunday. You weren't even paying full price for the ticket.
Not to Disney. I've sent it to LeBron.
You sent it direct to DM to LeBron.
And I said, "LeBron, my only takeaway from the film is that you're a bad dad." And
in the movie,
the rest of it is. Yeah, I mean, but it seemed like art was imitating life in the film.
They're actually deeper than what you're saying.
It seemed like his children were accurately portrayed, and one of them had a different interest in basketball, and he couldn't cope with that. Which it just didn't. I don't feel like it painted him well. I don't feel like. Which maybe he was trying to show that he was human. I don't know what the intentions were, but whatever they were, they fell short. So I couldn't recommend the film. But As much as we could, I mean, we've watched more films and TV shows and stuff over the last 12 to 18 months, and we'll probably ever need to. So maybe we can add
We could do a film review. Mm. I could do a film review. I watched, do you know what I watched the other day? And, well, you won't know. I can see you looking at me like, well, how am I going to get I'm talking because I'm trying to actually remember what it was, which is not good for anyone listening. If I just shut up for a second, what was the old Tom Cruise one?
Mission Impossible?
No.
Top Gun.
Top Gun. I watched Top Gun. Molly and I watched Top Gun the other night. And
I've never seen it.
Speaking of god-awful movies, it was...
Really?
Yeah. And people listening to this, will be way more of a... Like, people will be like...
People swear by it, don't they?
People swear by it. And you know what? I knew I was turned off it from the very beginning because one of the executive producers was Jerry Bruckheimer. And if you don't know much about Jerry, he's got his hands in all of the NCIS's and, like, you know, that sort of real Horatio Caine one-liners, sort of cringe, really cringe relationship stuff. And it was just cringe from start to finish. I loved it. I actually loved it. And I watched the whole thing and I was like, that was really entertaining, great action, that sort of stuff. But it was just,
But they've done a new one of them, haven't they? They're doing a new Top Gun in some way, shape, or form.
So, but they'll do a series instead, so they can stretch it out and make money from streaming.
Well, I don't know. I've never seen the film, and I mean, I don't think I'll be rushing to watch it after that.
But then the next up, we went on a bit of an action. Because we've been on leave actually at home, which has been interesting. But we decided we'll actually just watch some sort of more actiony movies. Like, we don't really, I don't watch too much action. I like them, but they're not my go-to. But we watched Casino Royale, the A Night or Two Later. And I can see you screwing up your face. I reckon that's a great movie.
I think that's the only James Bond film I've ever seen. And I've obviously come in three quarters of the way through a 50 movie series, so I don't blame them for me not knowing what's going on, but not my type.
Well, that's fine. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm not offended by it. I haven't seen all the Bonds myself, but I liked it. Okay.
Bond villains are pretty famous, aren't they? I watched Lion King 1 and 2. Speaking of nailing villains, Scar's still very convincing in all that he does. And then was it his nephew, Kovu, in the second one? I really like those films. We watched them recently. But, I mean, almost enough about what we're streaming and what we're talking about. You can please let us know if you do have any film requests. We could watch them and review them, seeing as it now that's what we do as well.
How much of life at the moment is just like, what are you watching on Bin? What are you watching on Netflix? I've finished the season one of the F1s on Netflix. It is fantastic. And I'm not an F1. I'm not a car guy. I've got an old 2005 Commodore wagon. Trust me when I say this, I'm not a car guy. But this documentary was amazing. Just the way they shot it, the production, the stories, like the individual characters, and just how insanely competitive these guys are. It's great to watch if you haven't seen it.
I only watched the first season, and then I watched a race last year in all the lockdown stuff, and I thought, this is actually really cool. I understand what's going on. Have not thought about it since, literally. Just one of those things that I really like to be into, but I haven't given it the time. But I have watched the first season of that, and it's very good. But we have just finished a football home and away season, Ben. And I know not everybody wants us to talk about football all the time, but it's sort of it calls back to who we are. Is two blokes who really love their footy, and it's hard to believe that another home and away season has come and gone. For some, the busy time is just beginning. For us Carlton supporters, our grand final is, as always, out of contract murmurs and coach sackings and those sort of things. But, Ben, the Bombers are playing in the finals. Now, this is a team that this time last year was getting picked apart by, you know, like clubs signing players. The coach didn't care. They've put this new coach in. What's his game style going to be like? had they overpaid the wrong players, you know, all these sort of star players wanting to leave and some leaving. And now, and even after a bit of a shaky sort of start to this season where it looked like, okay, like the signs are there, but they're going to finish in the bottom four. They have finished eighth and take on the Bulldogs, who they beat just weeks ago.
Seemingly
look like the best chance they've got of winning a final since 2004. Ben, take us to where your mind is currently with these Bombers.
I wish I had been jotting stuff down because the way you've talked this up is like Ben's got to go into a rabbit hole, and I probably will anyway. But also, not to mention, we're playing at a stadium, which turns out we have quite a lot of supporters down there too, which it could be a home ground advantage to Essendon too for finishing eighth, which is unheard of. This season has been, if as an Essendon supporter, this season has been an absolute joy to watch, and I truly mean that. I like even the losses, I have gotten so much out of this season. And I think it comes back to all those things that you mentioned about, you know, it depends on how you look at it, like the club being, you know, one or two steps away from just being an absolute rabble because of these people leaving, the culture, all this kind of thing. And then 6 months later, like we're about to play in a final. And honestly, no matter what happens on Sunday, and I think we are a genuine chance as well. We're fully fit. We are a fully fit team. I know Tipper's got some health issues on the side that he may not be named. He still we might touch and go. But given the way that the team's playing, I don't even know if based on form he's in the best 22. And who can say that at this time of the year about a team? Honestly, like there's, I don't know if you've watched many games, but there's just these guys who have gone from your 4 and 5s out of 10s to, you know, 6.5, 7s, but even more than that. They just, I don't know if it's truck. I think a lot of it is the coaching and the way that they've just turned that culture around. You look at the photos and the way that they've been playing for each other it's been absolutely incredible to watch. Even when we weren't possibly making the finals, I was saying to a lot of friends and family, like, I'm just so happy with certain areas that were just completely lacking last year, and they've just turned almost everything around. It's almost like we're just a piece of the puzzle away from being a genuine top team and beating genuine top teams without even the competition is as well at the moment. Like, who knows if you can dare to dream, Jake? If we can get a win this weekend, who knows? It's just one of those things. We're 3 on the trot. And then the game before that, we lost to Sydney by 7 points, around about that. And, you know, we're probably robbed. But even after that, I haven't complained this year about these sort of things, Jake, because I've just been so happy with the way they're so young and the way that they're progressing so quickly. And it's just, you can just see the way that they get around each other that has been missing for more than a decade, easily more than a decade. And you go way back to the... I know a lot of people talk about Adrian Dodoro and like all this other stuff, and you yourself would dabble in it too, being a Carlton man. Like what's he actually done in the last, you know, X amount of years? I think there's a very unique a very unique example with Essendon and the saga that they went through. Like, and we were clearly in denial as a club after that, and thinking that we were actually weren't too far off being at least a respectable team still, and we weren't. But then we were forced into it in the off season of going back to the draft and getting a few blokes in and making guys who were your average players just a bit better than average. And they've all done that. And it's just sort of, it's turned around really, really quickly. It's been great to see. I'm not going to lie.
You said you had nothing prepared and that you weren't going to, you did admit that you might go down the rabbit hole, but you've gone completely down the rabbit hole. And I mean, good on you. I mean, I'm a long time critic of Essendon, it's in blood with Carlton things. But, you know, we've mentioned her a few times already, but my lovely partner, Rach, she's a diehard Essendon fan. And I guess living with one over the past month, we've seen, you know, the fact that this club has not won a final in a long time. And
a long time.
And look, for a long time, I've also been without hope, to be fair. I think that, you know, like they caught the supplement saga, and then, you know, they lost the players, and then Worsfold came in and seemingly was the least engaged coach of all time. And then it's taken for, but then I see, you know, Matthew Lord on Footy Classified say a couple of weeks ago that he doesn't want them to make finals because it'll be overachieving, and then a young group has too many expectations. And it's like, well, imagine if the Bulldogs had that mindset in 2016. Like,
yeah,
it's going to be incredibly hard. I don't think Essendon can win the flag, but why can't they? Like, if they have that same, you know, the Merritt, Parrish, these guys are like playing some serious footy. Dyson Heppel has gone and just all of a sudden is one of the most valuable leaders in the competition. And gets a lot of the ball, and, you know, they've turned Peter Wright from a fourth round draft pick, you know, they've turned him into a serious threat up forward. They've got Stringer humming. Like I don't think they can win the flag, but I genuinely think that they can win. I genuinely think they can win this weekend. Yeah. And then it's why not? I mean, it's hope not for me. But
it really is why not. It's
because you shift all the expectation. As soon as you make it and you finish eighth, and, you know, they were, you know, deservedly the eighth side, because the teams below them, you know, like had so many chances to take the ascendancy, and even Essendon did as well. And we'll get to some of those, Richmond in particular. But it must be nice to see that sort of quick turnaround. And I mean, it does bring more expectation for next year, but. Don't worry about next year, because this year is still a live prospect of, you know, I don't think there'd be too many Bulldogs fans who'd be begrudging what they've gone through the last 5 years of being a pretty competitive side and, you know, making the finals more times than not because they won that flag. They've got 2016 to call back to and remember, and maybe it is that for the Dons. Maybe they're not quite there yet, but I can see them knocking off the Bulldogs. I can give you the red hot tip.
I've done the ladder project. That we play Melbourne in a granny in a few weeks. So
I couldn't cop that.
You couldn't cop that?
No, that'd be too much for me. I think Melbourne Essendon. I don't know where I wouldn't. I'm not even sure I'd watch it. I don't know where.
I absolutely love how you are being very, very serious right now, though, when you say that. It's just.
I just don't. Yeah, I don't.
We don't want to get too much into Essendon. I think let's just see what the weekend brings, and I reckon we'll give it a red hot crack. There's no reason, unless the Dogs absolutely just turn it on and give us a bath in the middle, then it'll be a tough day out. But the system that Essendon have built in the last 2 months is something to be really proud of. Like, it's, We got blown out of the water in a few games this year, yes, but that hasn't happened in recent times. Even a couple of last losses were really, really close. So we're in games, and if you notice in the last month and a half, we're scoring a very, very big score, even in those losses. So that transitional from when we turn it over, that's just where we got to be tight, and obviously that midfield group, if they just keep doing what they're doing, then it should be a great game. Having said that, though, Bevo, if you've noticed games that they've lost to teams this year, when they play him a second time, they don't make the same mistakes twice, the Dogs.
Right.
Yeah. One of those big, who they play? Remember they got earlier in the year, was them versus Melbourne. It was top of the ladder clash, and it was an absolute fizzer. Melbourne just dominated them around the ball. Pants them. And then the next time, did Doggies beat them the next time around? I can't remember if they did, but they didn't. They definitely...
Good question.
I think they might... Oh, I do apologise, but they definitely... I remember watching that one, and it was like, okay, like they are happy, more than happy to change how they play because it didn't work the first time. So I am worried about that, because I do think... And we can get to Bevo as well, too. I think a lot of people, there's actually been a few Doggies just today on SEN supporters calling for his head, but I think that's a bit early. I think
it's a bit dramatic, isn't it?
I think he's a pretty intelligent guy, and we'll see what happens on the weekend. But that's enough about the ball.
Yeah, the Dogs did beat Melbourne the second time. They lost by 28 points, and then they won by 20, I'm being told in my ear. So Yeah, so you are. It's a fair sort of call out, and then obviously we know that Essendon beat them just a few weeks ago in a very straight kicking display. That's when big 2 meter Peter kicked seven.
Seater.
Yeah, so good on him and good on the Dons. And yeah, Sunday afternoon will be an interesting watch, and I'm sure we'll be able to chat about it in the not too distant future. We're trying to keep it as tight as possible, and we did go off on a few tangents as we regularly do, but. The Tigers, we know that we do have Richmond people who listen to this podcast. Myself, as a former member, we were disgraced this year and what we saw.
I forget you were a former member.
It was the worst the worst finish from a reigning premier in potentially a long, long time.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yep. So they did have a lot of injuries. They had some things going on away from football over the last 12 months. Obviously won the flag in 2020 in the COVID season and did really well then. And I think that everyone was thinking they were going to do something similar. And I know I was. I mean, you just learn that if you ride off Richmond, you do so at your own peril. But they really faded away this year. They obviously had some injuries, and then that injury to Dustin Martin was probably the straw that broke the camel's back. But they've fallen away this year, and they look like a shadow of themselves, and they're forced Hooley into retirement. You've got to think that, they might lose a couple of people potentially if there's some sort of cap squeeze. Talk about Marvel or Child going elsewhere. Is their next brigade going to be good enough? That's going to be a jury out for a little while, I think, but you've got to think at the end of next season they probably lose a couple more to retirements. They've lost Asprey, obviously he's retired, and then you could look at making a case for the fact that Cochin, Rewald, Edwards, these sort of guys will. And I mean, it doesn't take away from they've won three of the last four flags. It's an incredibly successful era, and but I have noticed that on Twitter that those people with the Richmond with the tiger emoji in their Twitter name and the three cups and those sort of things, they're thinking like, they're just starting to make up narratives, I think, and they're starting to be like, oh, people say we're not a dynasty, whatever. Of course you're a dynasty. You've won three of the last four. Mm. So that is a dynasty in itself. I'd rather take the last 4 years over what any other clubs copped, whatever, we're right up there with Brisbane. So, yeah, I don't think anyone's arguing at that point, mate. They're just saying that it's come to an end. And
You can both be right in that sense, can't you?
Yeah. And it's going to be interesting to see what you have to respect what they've done because
But that's what those people biting back, those Richmond supporters, it's like they need to understand that people have absolutely respected what you've done in the last 5 years.
Yeah, it's just come to an end probably a little bit quicker than you would have liked.
They all do. Like how long, like you talk about it, like I don't think there's any right or wrong answer, but like how long and how honest can a club be about where you're actually at? Like even with a few weeks to go and they were still a chance to play finals. I know like Jack Rewald's on 360 most weeks, just like on the one-off. And the way that they still talked about like, well, we'll just let our footy do the talking in the last few weeks. And then they just kept losing. And it was just like, well, that belief system's awesome. And like you want that in your club. But I don't think.
Yeah, the curtain call, I think it's
I don't think the cattle are there anymore. It's like they do have a lot of injuries and stuff. But you say the jury's out. I can't see them getting definitely back to where they were.
I think I'm just not sure. Yeah, not sure what they've got coming up, which is totally fair, mind you.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I mean. You're fully respectful about it. It's not a dig at Richmond or all their supporters. So please don't come at me on Twitter. I'm not on it at the moment. So good luck.
It probably just also rammed home how successful a team like Geelong, who have now made the top four in 8 of the last 11 years.
Mm. Well, this is that trade-off, isn't it? You'd take being a Geelong any day of the week because they are always up there and they did win one not too long ago in terms of, the way that Essendon and Carlton supporters look at it. But do you take the 3 out of 4 and it's like you had a dynasty and then you completely, and I'm not saying Richmond will completely drop off, but do you take that or do you take that Geelong route where it's just like you just, well, I mean, it's club specific too. You need to be a destination club to be able to do that for a long period.
It's a very interesting discussion there. Yeah, and it's a little bit strange, to be honest, unless maybe people say, and I mean, they're also, you know, they have such a really good Falcons program down there, that, and they do obviously have all of the Ballerine in terms of where they, you know, like can recruit those sort of people from that, you know, get the go home factor of, you know, what we saw with Patrick Dangerfield and, and he accepted a lot less money to be down that close to home, and Jeremy Cameron, who is, you know, from a lot further out than that, that way. So, yeah, it's interesting how they can keep, there's obviously a lot of pressure on them at the moment due to their aging list profile, though. They picked up Sean Higgins, Isaac Smith. They're thoroughly in the premiership race. So obviously bottled it against the Demons on Saturday night, but that final against Port Adelaide, I would suspect. I'd expect the Cats would probably get the job done. And Ben, I know that we just don't do all the things that other footy podcasts do, but it has been a while. I want to see where you land on a couple of teams. So I want to get your tips for the first week of the finals.
Yeah.
And fully aware that we've left Carlton out of this discussion.
I was going to say, we're not skipping over that.
It needs a deep dive on its own. And I feel like the amount that we've caught up already today.
You want to park it.
I just want to wait and see, because everyone's jumped at Shadows at the moment when it comes to
Carlton. Well, I mean, it's a very Carlton thing to do.
Because he's getting sacked in a week. He's not getting sacked.
We'll wait for next week until we talk about it. Sorry,
Well, there's no point in me talking about it. I'm not sure David Teague should keep his job, but it would be very anti-Carlton if he did, which I'm not necessarily opposed to, but he needs a lot of help and a lot of support at board level and in his team as well, in terms of the coaches. That's what we're parking it for now. This time next week, we'll know who's coaching Carlton in 2021. We can have that conversation.
But yeah, sure. Yep.
Friday night, Port Adelaide Geelong. Who you got, Ben?
It's in Adelaide, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm taking Port. But in saying that, I think Geelong will go the long way to the to the granny.
Well, there you go.
I think Port.
I think they'll go the short way, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. So you're saying you're saying Geelong then? I'm saying Port Adelaide. And I don't know.
It's
almost like Geelong. Probably
second or third, isn't it?
Are they favourites for the flag, Geelong?
No, I can't imagine. I would suggest Melbourne would be now, being on top. Okay.
Interesting. I'd still think Geelong are probably on their day the best team, but
and the only team that stopped them in recent times is Richmond, and they're obviously. They're obviously not there.
But the thing about Port Adelaide, they're for a top four team, no one's really talking about Port Adelaide, and they're humming along. Their last five have been very, very convincing too.
They stayed home.
Yeah, I'm going with Port Adelaide. Yeah.
I mean, I think they'll lose this week, but
they might stay there anyway. So
Sydney GWS at the University of Tasmania Stadium.
Oh, I can't go past the Swannies. Haven't they had an unbelievable season?
There's your surprise packet. I think obviously Essendon probably overachieved, but I think that the way that Sydney gone about it, been a genuine top four team.
Yeah.
I know they didn't make the top four, but I think it was only percentage they missed out on by. Yeah. They've been incredible. So I think that they probably beat the Giants, who have also been very good and have proved a few people wrong. Good on them. Melbourne and the Lions at Adelaide Oval Saturday night.
I'm going to go the D's in that one.
I think the Lions win.
We need to get our old mate Dan O'Kelly on here, because you're always talking the bad things.
I actually messaged Oaks very early in the season, and I said it's a bit of a shame that we're having a bit of a hiatus from the Magoos, because I think this is Brisbane's year. And then as soon as I said that, they went off the boil. We gamble responsibly, but I've got a bit of a long range wager with a few other little factors in it. Early in the season, I went Mackay, Coleman into Bontempelli Brownlow into Brisbane flag.
That's a bit how you're going.
And I thought Brisbane were a good thing. And then when Geelong sort of started to take over, I did the same bet, but with Geelong in there as well.
I know gamble responsibly, but what was Harry paying at that time?
He was pretty short. I think it was like $3. It was like a month into the season.
He came out of the gates, didn't he?
Yeah, he kicked 7 or 8 against Freo in round 2 or 3, I think. And I thought, well, he's probably going to win it, because I thought, Carlton were going to win the flag. Not win the flag, because I wouldn't win it. I think that Brisbane, I think that Melbourne can, they're very capable of shutting teams down, Melbourne, but I feel like Brisbane might get them. And
will be the first time in the last couple of years Brisbane will actually be the underdogs going into the first round, wouldn't it? They were top four last 2 years.
Yeah.
Two home finals.
Yeah.
We know how they all turned out.
Yeah, don't we ever. And then, of course, we go back to Tassie for the Dogs and the Dons, and I'm assuming that
you're I'm going the Dons. I'm confident in the boys.
I just can't tip them.
That's fair. We all know.
I'm close to thinking about it because a win there would not surprise me, but I can't say in good faith that I think they'll win.
The fact that you've been saying what you've been saying about Essendon just in today's podcast alone, really, it warms my heart because you're very reluctant to give
in. And a lot of growth. Away.
Yeah. Thank you. We appreciate it. I'll take it on their behalf.
We appreciate it. Look, Ben, we've blown out our time. We love chatting. It's been great to catch up. Thank you to everyone who's tuned in to what is the first episode of 2021, The Magoos. It's been a long time coming. We appreciate the support and the messages that have come through along the way. We've got some cool plans in the works, so please stick by us. It might be a hard sell, but if you did want to sponsor the show, please feel free to reach out via our Instagram DMs. You've seen the new designs.
We're like back. Patreon, just for like a dollar. Serious.
Yeah, we might up it.
That would just be able to get the audio quality a bit better, a bit of video, just to go back into the pod. We're talking about $10. That does it. We won't tease it tonight, but we do have a couple of things in the works.
Yeah, so you will be hearing from us a lot sooner than you did from the last time. So it's been a little extended break. We don't want people to think we're just going to up and leave again. We're back. The Magoos are back. Ben, it's been great to chat, and good luck to the Bombers on the weekend.
Jake, a pleasure. Thank you very much. Go Dons.
Yeah.
The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos.